Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this day, this first Sunday in the season of Lent. We give thanks that you are here this morning and that you are a part of God's wonderful universal church, God's wonderful universal people who are gathered here to bear witness to the Lordship of Jesus Christ the King. At this time, just want to remind you to make sure that you not only read your bulletin thoroughly, but also to go to our webpage so you can stay abreast of any communications and announcements that are to be made. Just to remind folks that there is a spring tea gathering that will take place on April the 9th at 12:30 p.m. So ladies, please be mindful of that. Mark that on your calendar. Sounds like it will be a wonderful time for people to come together and to meet. But again, please make sure that you are staying abreast and that we're all staying connected by, again, going to our webpage and reading thoroughly your bulletin.
Our Old Testament reading for today comes from Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 through 10. All the commandment which I command you this day, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out upon you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 13, which are found on page 892 of your pew Bibles. But at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone.'" And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will give his angels charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, It is said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. This is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And usually on this Sunday, we hear the story of the temptation of the Lord himself before Jesus begins his ministry. We are told that the Holy Spirit blows him out into the wilderness where he will spend 40 days fasting and praying. And it's there in the wilderness that he will be tempted by the Satan himself. It's interesting, I think, that the first temptation that the Satan tries on Jesus is the temptation about bread. That simple, basic commodity that sustains all of our lives. But that's what the tempter uses, bread. I would have thought that the tempter would have presented Jesus with something a little more illicit. You know, here you go, Jesus, try this, don't worry. What's done in the wilderness will stay in the wilderness. But no, the tempter uses bread. Something as everyday, ordinary, necessary as bread. It's really quite genius when you think about it, quite clever of the devil that he would use something so ordinary, something so seemingly necessary as bread, but that's what he does. He uses bread. And I've always wondered how the Satan must have presented himself to Jesus, wondered if he wore his traditional red tights, if he came adorned with his traditional pitchfork. Just how did he present himself to Jesus? He had to have been smooth, had to have been convincing, perhaps a little bit enticing. I've always imagined that the devil perhaps would have looked like a commercial or an advertisement of some kind. But whatever he looked like, however he presented himself, we can just hear his words, Come on, Jesus. Since you're supposed to be the Son of God, since you're supposed to be the Messiah, since you're supposed to be the anointed one, the King, then get off your knees and make yourself useful. Start acting like a Messiah. Demonstrate for everyone that you are indeed the Messiah. Demonstrate for everyone that you can master the economy, that you can provide for people's basic needs. The people will praise you. They will celebrate you. They will vote for you. All you have to do is turn these stones into bread. What, for goodness sakes, could possibly be wrong with bread? Well, nothing, of course, not in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with bread. In fact, Jesus will end up doing the very thing that the Satan wants him to do in part of his ministry. He will miraculously produce bread. He will multiply loaves. In one instance, he will feed 5,000 people. In another instance, he will feed 4,000 people all from a few loaves. Jesus, of course, never passed up an opportunity to break bread with people from all walks of life. Indeed, Jesus himself was born in Bethlehem, whose name means the house of bread. If anyone knew the importance of bread, it was Jesus. And so there's nothing wrong with bread. But Jesus simply replies to the Satan that human beings do not live by bread alone. There's something else, something more basic, something more vital, something more necessary to human flourishing than bread. And you and I this morning know what it is because we heard it. We heard Kate read it from Deuteronomy. Human beings do not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. They live by the will of God, the truth of God. And therefore, the first priority is trust. To trust God with our very lives, to trust God for everything, including our daily bread. Jesus understood that from the very beginning there in the wilderness, despite the fact that he was famished, despite the fact that he had been without food for 40 days, Jesus understood that human beings live first and foremost by the word and the will of God. Jesus, of course, was the Son of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, but that didn't make things easy for him. Even though he was fully divine, he was also fully human. He experienced all the things that we experience the same way that we experience them. He got hungry. He got sleepy. He was tired, just like us. He experienced suffering. He experienced pain and temptation, just like us. But if anyone knew how to best the devil, even in the wilderness, Jesus was it. Jesus knew how to best the devil because Jesus knew what human beings live by, that human beings do not live by bread alone, but by trust. Trust in God. I suspect that you and I, even when we are at our best, are easier marks for the tempter. And let's give the devil his due this morning. He's a master tempter. The devil knows that the essence of temptation is not to move us towards something that may be detrimental to our well-being, but the devil knows that the purpose of temptation is always to move us away from something. Or better, to move us away from someone, to move us away from God, the God who is the source of our lives. And so temptation is always an attempt to undermine our trust in God, our trust that, that God loves us, our trust that we are people of God, that we are shaped by God. It's about our trust in God. I always imagine that the Satan is sort of like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings, the movie The Lord of the Rings. You know Gollum, who's always slinking and lurking around, whispering in Frodo's ear, never saying anything directly, but always insinuating, always doing his best to destroy Frodo's trust in his friend Samwise. I think that the Satan is like that at all times, always whispering, always insinuating, always trying to destroy whatever trust that we have in God. But it's usually during the wilderness moments that we are likely to be tested the most. And if you haven't had a wilderness moment yet, don't worry, you will. It may come as an illness. It may come as a period of unemployment. It may be a relationship rent asunder. It may be a pandemic. It may be lots of different things. But whatever it is, you will have to decide there in the wilderness what voice you're going to listen to. You can listen to the diabolical voices all around you, perhaps the voices even welling up inside yourself, voices that say you really can't trust God. You can't trust God in this situation. You can't trust God to get you out of this. You can't trust God to be with you. You can't really trust God. Or you can listen to the one voice that really matters. The word of God, the word that says, trust me, Trust me with your very life. Trust me with everything, including your daily bread. When we fail to trust in God, we often fail to remember that our daily bread, indeed all of our needs, come to us as pure gift. Comes to us as a gift of a loving, gracious God. For a time when I was in grade school, my mother worked for a television factory. And the plant was shut down temporarily because of a labor dispute. But I remember every day when she was home, she baked us a cake. And when we come home from school, there would be a freshly baked cake. It was a pure gift. The smell of that cake would be wafting throughout the house, and it was just a wonderful gift, but it was a pure gift. Nothing that we did to earn it, nothing that we did to deserve it. It was just a pure gift. And God is like that too. God gives us what we need. God gives us our daily bread. God gives us all the things that we need. It is comes to us as pure gift. But whenever we listen to those diabolical voices, those voices whispering in our ears, we tend to believe that our daily bread is all about us, that it's all up to us. It's about what we do. It's about our ingenuity. It's about our cleverness. It's about our productivity. It's about our work ethic. It's about our education. It all depends upon us. The problem, of course, is that when we think everything depends on us, we never seem to get enough. That deep, deep hunger that we have is never sated. Our insecurities are never sated. We always have to have more and more and more. There's never enough to assuage our insecurities because we believe that it's all about us. It all depends on us. The end result, of course, is that we are often tight-fisted, we're often defensive, we're often hunkered down trying to protect our stuff because it all depends on us. Never enough to go around, never enough to share, never enough to be big-hearted, never, never enough. But when we remember that all that we have comes to us as by way of gift, when we remember that everything comes to us from God, then there's always enough for everyone, enough for us to be open-handed, enough for us to be big-hearted, enough for us to share. There's enough, because it all comes to us by way of gift. Nothing that we do necessarily. I was reading about a man years ago from the Ukraine when they were having a terrible, difficult time of it. This was almost 20 years ago. Ukraine in the news again, but they were having a terrible, difficult time, shortages everywhere. But this man was a professional man, very well educated, made a wonderful a living, at least a good living. But then he went back to his native Ukraine during a very difficult moment, and none of his credentials would be able to be used. Do we have an usher or somebody could go out and tell that guy to lay off the horn? But he could never have none of his credentials or nothing was able to provide for him. He had to stand in line with everybody else because nothing that he had was able to secure his daily bread. But we're reminded that God provides for us. Everything that we have, our daily bread, is pure gift. Whenever we fail to trust in God, we tend to idolize our daily needs. We place them on a pedestal and make them the end-all, be-all. Perhaps you've noticed that. Have you ever noticed how much our society idolizes food? I was in the bookstore recently, and there's a whole section of magazines that have nothing to do but with food. How to cook food, what kinds of food, how to prepare food, cookbooks, a whole section on food. But we idolize food. Seems like almost every other channel is a channel about food. And even news segments and the morning shows, there's always a segment there about food. The golden arches are probably a more ubiquitous symbol of our age than the cross itself, because we are a society that is obsessed seemingly with food. It's not without anything that one of the chief problems in our society is obesity, but it's not just a physical challenge for many of us. It is a spiritual challenge, because we have often replaced the word of God with food. But Jesus reminds us that man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone because there's something more basic even than bread. And that is the faith and trust that we are called to have in the God that sustains our lives. Lent is a time that we are called to cultivate the trust that we have in God. It's a time when we are called to be mindful of all the ways that God sustains us and keeps us. But we are called to cultivate that trust in God as we journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross. But it's not always easy to cultivate that trust, because we human beings are such insecure creatures. We're often very insecure. And so how do we cultivate that trust? How do we come to listen for the voice of God, the voice of God speaking to us, the voice of God calling us, the voice of God leading us? How do we come to hear and to cultivate that voice? How do we come to appreciate the truth that we do not live by bread alone, but by the voice and the will of God? I think one way to do that is to do what Jesus himself did. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and praying. And I used to think that when Jesus fasted those 40 days, when the devil came to Jesus after fasting, that the devil was coming to Jesus because Jesus was at his weakest, most vulnerable point. He hadn't eaten in 40 days, and this is the time to come to him. This is the time to tempt him. Come on, Jesus, don't you want a little bit of bread? But no, I think now that Jesus wasn't at his weakest. He was at his strongest. He was at his strongest because he had realized in that fasting, in that doing without, that what he really needed, the most basic thing, was the will of God, the voice of God, the words of God. It was that period of fasting that helped Jesus to realize that, yes, man does not live by bread alone, but by the will and the word and the voice of God. Fasting was something that was a part of the fabric of everyday life in the ancient world, in Jesus' world, something that people just did. And I would just encourage us, as we make our way with the Lord during this journey of Lent, that we too undertake this spiritual discipline, that we carve out time during a week, maybe one or two times during the week to fast, to do without, not to lose weight or any of the other reasons that people sometimes do this, but simply so that we can be aware of that deeper hunger deep down inside of our hearts, that hunger for God, that hunger for the ways of God, that hunger to know God, the God who is the source of our lives. So my challenge to you this year is that we take time to fast, to pray. To fast and to pray so that we can hear and know this truth. The man does not live by bread alone. The good news for us this morning is that God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is indeed the bread of life. Jesus is the nourishment that we all need. Yes, God provides for us. Yes, God has given us our basic needs. Indeed, Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. And if we seek the kingdom of God, all the things that we worry about, all the things that we need, all those things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom, because in the kingdom of God, there's always enough for everyone. In the kingdom of God, in God's kingdom of love and grace, there's enough. But the most important thing is that nourishment which sustains us spiritually. And that is the bread of life itself, the bread of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bread that has been freely given to each and every one of us. That's the bread that sustains us. That's the bread that keeps us. That's the bread that will nourish the whole world. And you and I are called to partake of that bread and to make that bread a part of our own lives so that we too can be sustained as we seek to be God's faithful people. So this morning, hear these words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the voice of God, God's self. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the grace, by the love, by the compassion of God. That's the nourishment that our world desperately needs to hear. And that's the bread that the world definitely, desperately needs to partake of. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this morning for your gracious presence in our lives. We give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Lord, continue to help all of us to be nourished. Continue to help all of us to be fed. Continue to help all of us to trust in you and to trust in the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask all of these things in his precious name. Amen.